Thank you.
Whoop, works.
Okay, I think we just have the last of our friends streaming in here before lunch. Are we growing tired yet? Long conference. I saw. I think the networking session was quite good last night. I expected an hour, and I think it became a party.
So it was an extended hour.
It was a European hour. Like it. So thanks for joining us for our talk today on the operations management suites. We're going to do something of a deep dive with you. My name is Pete Zerger. I'm a Microsoft MVP in the cloud and data center space, joined by my esteemed Swedish colleague.
My name is Anders Bengtsson. I'm a principal PFE.
And what more can one say? So we want to talk a bit, Anders works for Microsoft, I don't. We want to talk a bit about Microsoft's direction with OMS and our thoughts on OMS as a part of your IT strategy, your management strategy today. We're going to walk through many of the components of OMS, lots of demos and discussions and use cases. We'll talk through a few, let's call them frequently asked questions, if there are frequently asked questions early on, just to get into those details. So I think first and foremost, a very simple message, that a theme I think we've heard from Microsoft for quite a long time is that for the past several months for sure, is that they are moving into a modern service-based management strategy. So OMS is really management as a service, so to speak, and connects nicely with System Center really to allow us to do some strategic reporting and data analysis and visualization that tends to be very challenging on-prem. I know Anders is out as a premier field engineer dealing with challenges, shall we call them, in customer environments. The data warehouses.
That's true.
Data warehouse performance, et cetera.
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah, so as a premier field engineer, Anders is a problem solver. So we all know about those big System Center data sets and how System Center is a fantastic way to collect large amounts of data. It can be challenging to analyze that data and to surface answers quickly and easily with good performance, right? And I think that's where OMS fills a big gap. So I'll show you a proper OMS feature roadmap in just a moment, but I'd like to just draw some parallels from the public space with information Microsoft has shared with us to draw some connections to our current management strategy. So today we're all System Center folks, and I was looking at the OMS feature roadmap, I saw alerting, which sounds a lot like operations manager, right? So today in OMS we have some alert visualization, so when I see alerting as a feature on a roadmap, it sounds like there might be something a little more feature-rich aligned for alerting coming up. When I think about systems management, configuration, patching, inventory, remote OS management, all on the roadmap. So how many config manager admins do we have in the room now? How many ops manager admins? Quite a few orchestrator folks, even more. I like it. Are there any folks working hard for the money out there? How about virtualization, fabric? Yeah, so a few of you. Earning your money, like Anders. So let's talk about why OMS is such a great idea for adoption today. So Anders, I'm going to give you some mic time here. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Yes, the first one here. It's simple. This is really so everyone.
Let me give Anders Microsoft. Yeah, you're sounding. I'm going to give Anders the controls here. I don't want to misinterpret his perfect sense of Swedish comedic timing.
And you can have a cup of coffee over there, Pete.
I'm going to have a coffee over here.
Yeah.
Proceed.
Enjoy yourself. So the first thing here, looking at comparing with System Center projects, it's simple. I mean, anyone that have deployed an operation system with Configuration Manager knows it's not simple. You click like 8 million times before there is anything deployed from that product.
So 8 million is maybe a bunch. Who's spent weeks of time deploying System Center?
And the same with Operation Manager. If you think about the time it takes for you to set up the environment and the time you spent on patching, importing management packs, building overrides before you actually get what you want, the value, the monitoring value, you spend an enormous amount of time just trying to have the platform running and trying to understand what it is and how you should be working with it. So OMS, it's very simple to work with, it's very easy to work with. Quick start, and then you're up and running, and you get your value very quickly there. Easy to integrate. If you have System Center today, it's very easy to integrate with System Center. Let me see here. Yeah. So Pete will be talking about the different themes we have in OMS today, and you can connect it back to System Center. And System Center can monitor more or less anything, yeah, that you can then feed into OMS.
Exactly.
But I think the most important part here is that it's easy to get started, time to value, and that you can compare with all the System Center projects. It's just so nice. You just log on. You will see this in the demo. You log on, sign up, and you're up and running.
Exactly. So we're talking about setup time in minutes, time to value in hours when we can begin answering some of those questions. So I think this is the public roadmap that we saw in Martin's session yesterday, was it?
Or yes, Monday,
was it? So more than 20-ish features there that are coming by the end of the year, it appears. So the cadence for new features is very quick. This is a public slide, I think, for you photo buffs out there, so we'll make sure that you can see this in a downloadable format if you wish. But the point being, across these four themes, we're going to see increasing levels of capability for OMS as a standalone solution. But today, its true strength in our journey to a modern management strategy is as a complementary component to our core System Center infrastructure and helping us take those large data sets and to visualize and analyze very quickly, very easily. So before we move forward, I want to take a step back and just think about the history behind the Operations Management Suite. And it has what's getting to be quite a long history at this point. So originally, we saw System Center Advisor, which was really some basic best practices around SQL Server, Active Directory, I think Hyper-V snuck in there at one point. The concept of a solution pack, an intelligence pack, you know, some sort of modular addition to System Center Advisor did not exist. So there was an evolution, and in mid-2014, at the Big Tech Ed conference, we heard Advisor reimagined with some scenario-specific log analytics, search capabilities, the concept of an intelligence pack, a modular element of extensibility. Extensibility only for Microsoft today, but we know we assume that will change down the road. Safely so, no doubt. And sometime in the later elements of 2014, we saw the name Azure Operational Insights come into play. Incidentally, there's a great Microsoft Virtual Academy session on Azure Operational Insights that shows you a lot of what OMS looks like today. Quite good. So today, we are now standing at the early stages of the Operations Management Suite, where we now have the themes not just of log analytics, but automation, availability, and security themes. And we're going to take a look at all of these themes in a hands-on way today and explore what we can do today and where that may be headed as we go to the future. And it all starts
with the nice dashboard.
With that very nice dashboard. So yeah. How much work does one have to do to get to this default dashboard, Anders?
Yeah, so to get to this view, all you have to do, and you will see it in the demo shortly, you go to microsoft.com/OMS, sign up, and you're up and running. It takes around 5, maybe 8, if you combine it with coffee and some cake, maybe 10 minutes, but that's absolutely maximum. And you get your dashboard, this dashboard, and you can turn on the different solutions that Pete will talk about a little bit later. And you will see them start lighting up when your agents start reporting data in there. And if you're running OMS or running Operation Manager today, you can connect Operation Manager with OMS and forward all your data to OMS. If you're not running Operation Manager today, you can download the agent from here, from OMS portal, and install it on your machines. And if you don't like it, you build your own custom dashboard where you can set up what's important for you. So maybe you don't want to look at capacity planning. Maybe you want to only look at your events from different servers. Then you build your custom dashboard with your queries and your small tiles, whatever you want to see.
Yeah, you know, and the custom dashboard authoring is really just as simple as you know, plugging a search in. So it's a bit simpler yet than what we see in the System Center Operations Manager dashboards. I think what's more impressive is how performant the OMS dashboards tend to be. I mean, who's ever had a System Center data warehouse that tends to be a little bit slow when it gets large? Yeah.
How many becomes a little bit afraid when someone asks for a new report from SCOM and you know you have to auto the report?
Yeah. So I think this is a key value add right there. So when you have that manager, that director, that executive coming for a report, now you have the business asking you for something that has strategic value, right? They don't care that we're managing massive infrastructures, that we spent weeks setting up SCOM and ConfigMan and Orchestrator. Really, they want the answer. They want us to distill all of that data we're collecting down to something useful. So that's where these solutions and these themes come into play. So the OMS themes that I mentioned, log analytics, automation, availability, security, map to solutions you may already be familiar with. And I'm not saying that the data, you know, 100% comes from these solutions, but you see functionality here that looks similar to what you're dealing with on-prem. It just allows us in OMS, we're allowed to take that data and quickly distill that into information that provides answers to the business. So no doubt, you know, by the show of hands, we saw many of you are working with Operations Manager and Config Manager today. I see many faces from our Azure Automation session yesterday, and I think SMA and Azure Automation are becoming a common theme, and we'll talk to you today in the availability theme about Azure Backup and Azure Site Recovery, which I think are quite exciting. So we know today across those four themes there are 13 solutions, they're now called, and many, many more, as you saw on the slide, coming in calendar 2015. So the cadence seems to be moving right along. So Anders, Ooh. Why don't you, Anders is bragging about that onboarding process and his dashboarding skills, so we'll take a quick look at that.
Oh, this is fantastic.
As a first step.
So here it is. Here is the OMS portal, and as we said earlier, Microsoft.com/OMS. Sign up, and you get this portal, and you can start installing your agents. So on this portal, we can see the different solutions that we have enabled. Some I have enabled, some I haven't enabled. That's why I don't have data everywhere here. We can scroll and we will get a good overview of our environment. We can see SQL, AD, security, configuration, backup, automation, a good overview of everything in here. If we want to enable more solutions, we go into Solution Gallery. And we will see all the different solutions that we have today. And as you can see, most of these I already own, so I can't click on those. If there is a new one, it will tell me that I'm not owning it, and I can click it and install it. And as we said earlier, all these are more or less, they are controlling what we will upload to OMS, but it's also a number of filters and views and queries that you put on top of all the data that you upload to OMS. So sometimes we update these to find new good best practice or new things that are important for you to see. And you really don't have to do anything. You just sitting here, oh, there's a new version, that's nice. Or there's a new solution, I want this one. So comparing with working with management packs, it's so much easier. You just like, oh, this is nice. Click on this one. This is nice. Want this one.
So Anders, let me just ask you a question here. I'm going to cover some of these FAQs off in line here, not to put you on the spot. So as we're enabling these solutions, are there any dependencies? Do I need to enable these in a certain order?
No, nothing like that.
So all of these solutions are then independent of the others. I can simply click and enable and...
Yeah, and when you're running them, if you don't want any of them anymore, you just click them again and just say remove.
Okay.
It's really simple. And when you're installing the you're agent. You go into the portal, and let me go back again. You can download the agent from in here if you want to, and then you need your workspace ID and your primary key. Or if you're running Operation Manager, you can just connect your entire Operation Manager environment with OMS.
So we can either onboard a managed computer directly with a Microsoft monitoring agent connected into OMS, or we can simply connect our Operations Manager management group and configure which systems will forward data.
Exactly. Yeah? So here's my custom dashboard also, as we said earlier, that you can build your own dashboard. So it starts with a totally blank dashboard, and then you click on the customization button here, and then you have your different queries on top of the data. So if you think about all the agents sending data to OMS, and then you have different queries on top of the data to show what you're interested in. And you can build your own queries. You will see that in a later demo here. Or we can use one of the queries that comes with one of the solutions.
So we have canned queries, so to speak, and then we can plug in our own custom queries, yeah? Good question. The question was, can you create your own solutions? So today, there's not a place for a partner or a non-Microsoft person to plug in a solution. That's something that we can safely assume that extensibility will come in the future. So today, your primary extensibility point, if you will, would be the Search API, which is accessible via PowerShell, or to put your own custom queries into the OMS portal here. And if we have those queries that we use frequently, we'll put them into the portal and save them as saved queries to our custom dashboard.
Exactly. Now we are on the Connect Sources page in the OMS portal. And in here on the left side, you can see that you can download the agent. So if you're not running Operation Manager, you simply download the agent from here. You copy this workspace ID, and you copy the primary key, because you need those when you're installing the agent. So it's really simple to get started.
And you notice as Anders is working here, since we began preparing this presentation for you a few weeks ago, some things have popped in. You notice coming soon, connect AWS storage, that would be Amazon, and then the Linux agent popping up over there. So new things surfacing quickly.
Yeah, and you will be surprised how much data that your servers are generating. See if this one lights up, but we can get back to it later also. The amount of data that you're, let's see here. Yeah, so I have three small servers not really doing anything, and still I have a lot of data in my account, and you will see when we do log analyze how quickly I can search this amount of data.
Yeah, and so what we see that's different here fundamentally from our System Center strategy on-prem today is with System Center, we tend to filter at the collection level, right? We begin creating rules to not collect data. We create overrides to disable data collection, so we have a limited data set that we're starting with to get those answers in the first place, because we don't want bloat within our System Center databases on-prem, or we begin to have performance issues as we get into high scale, right? So Ops Manager is a fantastic tool. It's not the easiest way for us to deal with millions upon millions of events or performance data streams. And so with OMS, we have a different paradigm here in that we're basically letting massive amounts of data to flow,
right? So instead of the agent doing the filtering, we filter a little bit, but instead of the agent deciding should this be an alert or not, we just ship it off to OMS, and then OMS puts these rules coming from the different solutions on top of all the data. And that's really good, because when Microsoft updates one of the solutions, for example, if Microsoft Support comes up with some new best practice for Windows Server, we update the solution, and then we can start looking at your data instantly. We don't need to collect new data to see if your environment is configured in the correct way. The data is already in there.
So the logic that's added to existing solutions or in new solutions can, as an overlay, work with our existing data.
Nope.
I'm on number one, sorry. Change it up. So let's go down into that first theme of log analytics. So and quite a number of the solutions today really focus on analyzing log data. So this gives us the ability to first collect lots of data rather than filtering at the pre-collection. We're going to go ahead and let that data flow so we can then begin to let the solutions and our own queries to do that analysis. So some of the existing solutions will allow us to very quickly do some configuration tracking within our servers, to do some root cause analysis, some troubleshooting, if you will, going from a data set of many millions of events down to a small number of significant events very, very quickly. That's one of the first things we'll actually demonstrate for you today. And then we can take those searches, if they're something we're going to do repeatedly, we can simply save those searches, put them on our custom dashboard, and then they become a one-click ad hoc troubleshooting analysis. It becomes a one-click answer for somebody who wants an answer, right? So it delivers value. The integrated search, if you're a PowerShell user, show of hands, PowerShell users more or less, you'll find that the search syntax is quite intuitive. It tends to match the verb aspect of PowerShell very quickly. You'll find a nice 7-part blog series from from a member of the OMS team around search and how to leverage the filtering, aggregation, and methods related to search very quickly to filter down to sum, average, etc. Very quick. The alert management solution today is really just one of the exceptions. This is surfacing our operations manager alert. So this is giving us a nice way to visualize alerts in a dashboard that's pretty, like the operations manager dashboard views, but one would argue much more performant at high scale. We're going to see a very quick rendering.
And this one, it's really one of those, the reports here are really those that you often set up at customers or set up in your environment. The standard things you want to see, like which server has most problem, which management pack are generating more alerts, what are our most common alert, what's our most common trouble source, and so on.
Yeah, so, and when folks, when consultants and administrators alike look at this sort of capability, they wonder, what does this do to me from a professional position? This is stealing services from me or stealing responsibility from me as an admin. I would argue not. This is now giving you the ability to focus on a more interesting set of problems and really, and that's, helping your business, your customers get to answers in a shorter amount of time, frankly. So you're going to be an answer person providing value a lot more quickly. So let's talk about capacity planning. So in System Center today, we do see some isolated attempts at capacity planning. We do see some third-party solutions from the community that plug nicely into System Center, but natively, our monitoring and management components for System Center don't have any sort of custom logic in there to give us capacity planning, true? So the OMS solution is going to give us some capability right out of the box to do some capacity planning. Now, one thing we haven't talked about, Anders, and I wonder if we can just cover this off while we're on this theme, is around the System Center components required for various solutions. So
we should add that.
So when we look at a solution, many of these solutions are going to take that data and just work with it as it is. Some solutions are going to require some System Center components.
Like this one.
Yeah. So what do we need for capacity planning?
SCOM and VMM.
Yeah. So we need Operations Manager actually integrated with VMM. That's going to get us the visibility down to the storage tier so we can then project into the future our usage trends.
And for the previous one, obviously, we need Operation Manager.
Yeah, you guys get that we needed Operations Manager there. He was educating me, not you.
Yeah,
sorry.
A little bit funny there. Yeah.
He likes to spell it out for the dumb American every now and again. Change tracking, also a very useful capability. What I really like about change tracking here, we actually have some limited change tracking capability in Operations Manager. Some of you may know this, that Operations Manager is going to keep about 3 versions of many values, and there is a report within Operations Manager where we can look at a specific value and see how it's changed over time. But that report tends to work in exactly that fashion. I can select some targets, I can select a value, and then I can project the last three values. That's a pretty slow way to come to answers, generally speaking. So the change tracking solution is going to accelerate that just a bit. So you see here, off the shelf, we have some very nice visualizations that are going to give us answers fairly quickly. Why don't you get in and analyze something for us? Tell us what you're going to analyze.
So the scenario here is that we have a server delivering a service, and now recently that we can't access the service anymore. So we want to know what have changed on that server. So we have our OMS dashboard. We go into log search. We don't really know what we are searching for, so it's a good start in here, because here we have all the logs. As you can see, we have a number of pre-configured queries in here coming from the different solutions. So we can use one of these, or we can also build our own query up here, and then we can save that one. So I will go to all computers with the most recent data. So now it's loading more or less everything that I have in my OMS workspace, all my logs for all my computers. So it should.
If you could, do you mind zooming in so we can see that query?
Yes, of course.
I just want to point out some elements of the syntax for you here. So you're going to notice that he's filtering down to specific information in the log. Here, he's leveraging the max function here to do some aggregation. And then he's sorting this out by computer. But he's using the pipeline syntax, very PowerShell-esque, if you will.
Let's change to one day to make it a little bit easier here. See that it's running a little bit slow.
So Anders, this query is great. How do you tend to build your new queries, or to get guidance to build your new queries?
Yeah, so normally I just click, you will see it here. I click and then I just add on and add on and add on more and more filters, because I don't really know how to write these kind of queries.
So you start with the canned queries the OMS team has given you, and then you begin to
customize. Yeah, and then I just move on. And
customize.
Also one thing to add here, so now you can see that we have, I changed to one day and it came a little bit quicker here. We can see we have my server here, so I click on the server, and it's now starting to load all the logs for that server for one day. So one thing to add here is that this capability here to do log analyze, you can get started with that for free and store 7 days of log in OMS. So without having to input a credit card or any kind of subscription, you can get started with OMS and use this log analytic feature for free.
Yeah,
so it's
good,
so cheap, so you're actually losing money if you're not using it.
Wow, he does work for Microsoft, doesn't he? So tell us, how much space do we get in the free tier, Microsoft? I mean, Anders?
It's free.
Okay, so you do get 500 megabytes in the free tier. And I like to go in and collect everything, right? So we know event logs can become hundreds of megs, so you will leverage that 500 megs pretty quickly. What I will say is that Azure storage is cheap, so we're going to be able to store a lot of data affordably.
Yes, and compared with all kind of on-premises solution, the storage price here is so much, much cheaper. So now we have filtered down to one computer, one day, and we can see that we have around 27,000 log entries in there. So now I want to see what's happened on this server, and I can see I have 8 types of events that has happened on this server. So I click on the configuration change because I think that someone has reconfigured the server. And you can see I selected that one and I clicked apply. And you can see up here that we are adding the filter to the query. So that's what Pete was talking about earlier. If you don't know the language, how to write these kind of queries, you can just use the filters, the parameters on the left side, and you can just build your query. So you can see now we went from 27,000 entries to 53. That was quick.
Yeah, so you're filtering down pretty quickly here. Tell us what that shiny, that nice bar does there. What are you doing?
This one?
Yeah.
So I used this menu to go from 7 days to one day. I think for 7 days we have around 200,000 entries, I think we had this morning.
Okay.
So I went to one day, and then the bar here changed. So now the bar is showing hours. So if I know that this recently happened, I can change this.
So you're now adjusting your window in terms of at the time at which the event was logged, yeah?
Exactly, and we can also see now we went to 4 logs here. So, and we can see that it's, we can add on more and more more and more filters here. So that's 1 bar, 1 minute. That's a little bit, let's go back to 1 day. So, and that's the server. Let's say that it's a Windows service, we think, that has changed. And we can see it's updating the query here again.
I think what so impressed me about the log analytics was the first time I actually saw this. I think the first time most of us actually saw this, I saw this similar sort of analysis take us from 7 million events sitting in operations management suite down to 250 events that were the target in less than 2 minutes. And I think about a minute and 30 seconds of that 2 minutes was talking. So we're filtering very quickly.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer for me yet?
Yes, I'm adding on more and more filters, and while we are looking at that, or waiting for that, I can also show you this add. So in here is all the parameters from all the different type of data or parameters from, I guess you can say parameters,
yes,
of all the different kind of events that has been uploaded to OMS. So a really nice thing with OMS is that you don't, all the logs don't have to be in the same format. OMS will figure that out for you. So, but, and then it, let's say how we will say this, but it will show you the most common ones on the left side. But if you want to use any of the other ones, you do add, and then you get this big map of all the parameters, and you can pick whatever you want there. And you can see here that we are coming down to, let's say, group by service state. So we have moved from 200,000 events. We selected the server, and we said that we wanted to see changes, and now we have come down to 1 log entry. It's a service that has stopped, and we can look at that event. So we have really gone from this amount of events and filtered it down to 1 event, and this is the event that has occurred. Someone has stopped a service on the server.
So we went from
200,000, I think, from the beginning.
Changes to computers down to a specific state event, and then down to ground zero to the event.
So under the server, we had different types of events, and we said we wanted to look at configuration changes, and then we went further and further down. And if you compare this with reporting in, for example, Operation Manager, it's even with slow wireless connection, it's so much faster.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
easier to work with.
Yeah, so I think in short we get right to that time that we spend on dashboarding and not the days and weeks building complex custom reports in reporting services.
Yeah, and now when you have built your query or you have added filters to your queries, you have a new query up here, and if you like it and think I can use it again, you can now add this query to your favorites. So I can say, let me zoom, I can say save. And I can say, good query.
Yeah, so you know that's a very bad name for a potentially useful query there. So basically, he's going to save a favorite view. You have a question for us? Fire away.
Can you elaborate on the pricing? Are you paying for the
amount of data? So I'm saving a little bit of time at the end for the non-technical stuff. So I'll let somebody from Microsoft speak to the pricing later. That's the non, unless you really want to talk pricing right now.
It's based on the number of days. You should look at the number of days you need to save. That's the pricing.
Yeah. So we'll drill down on pricing later. Right? We've got a secret weapon in the corner of the room over here to talk pricing with you later. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had our big queries. I clicked saved and I saved the query. And now when I go into logs in OMS, I can see that I have a new category here, Anders, it says, or it's named, and here I have good query. So this time I could click on it directly, and you see I have my huge query up here, and I don't have to go through all the steps, and you can see I get my logs instantly, directly. So if you have found what you're looking for, and you think that, I might need this one another time, you just save the query. And once you have saved it, you can click it and you go directly in here, but you can also go to My Dashboard and you can add it as a widget in your dashboard. If you, let's say that this might be something that you often want to look at, so I can go in here and I can say, add that one. That, and I can also configure a threshold here if I want it to turn red if it goes above a certain threshold.
So you added your query that took you down to that answer, but if I have something that's numerically interesting at a threshold, then I can apply threshold logic so I get a visual indicator in my dashboard. I get the red paint, right?
Yeah.
So that tends to be as a monitoring, as a management person. I don't want to see all of the green stuff that's working fine. I want to see the areas that require
my
attention.
Yeah, so when you go in and open your custom dashboard, you get a quick overview, like a coffee dashboard. Like, if everything is green in here, go for coffee.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anders. So let's talk about automation for a moment. Many of us, by a show of hands, use Orchestrator today. We know SMA and Azure Automation, if you were in our session yesterday, are really the future of automation, PowerShell workflow-based, et cetera. And we oftentimes think of SMA as the on-premises automation solution, and we think of Azure Automation as our public cloud automation solution. And with OMS, that's really not necessarily true anymore. So when we load the automation solution, we get a nice dashboard that shows us active runbooks, total jobs, links into the automation portal in the Azure portal. But the automation solution in OMS brings some new capabilities. It brings, most importantly, in my book anyway, the ability to run, to execute runbooks on premises in a new role we call a hybrid worker.
That is fantastic. Thumb up.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. When we first released Azure Automation was like an isolated small island somewhere in the cloud. Yep. But now with the hybrid worker, we can actually automate tasks in our local data center in a very secure and a good way. So that's just fantastic.
Yeah, and he said a very good and very secure way. So incidentally, when Anders doesn't say fantastic, that means something is truly fantastic. That's kind of my bar.
I think the hybrid worker is like double fantastic.
So this hybrid worker, though, is interesting in that I can establish a hybrid worker on-prem with zero outside in ports being added, right? So from the outside in, I'm not poking additional holes to let this management agent work. I already have that management agent talking to OMS. So basically, talk to me about the deployment of the hybrid worker here, Anders.
Yes.
What are we doing? How long does it take?
So it takes like 10 minutes. Yeah.
And what are the high-level steps? Just call
so
them out.
The high-level steps are you have to have your server in OMS. So you have to register it in OMS as a source. Then in OMS, we enable the automation solution. When we enable the automation solution, we will push down a Azure Automation hybrid worker PowerShell module to all the machines. Then you can log on your machine in your data center, and you run a PowerShell script or a PowerShell command that will register the server as a hybrid worker. You will need a URL and a primary key that you will find in your automation account. I will show you soon in a demo. But that's it. So you just run the PowerShell commandlet there, and it takes a couple of minutes, and then it's lighting up in Azure Automation.
So I have on-premises automation capability without, and I can do this immediately. So if you don't yet have your site-to-site VPN, if you don't yet have Express Route, you can jump in and begin leveraging this capability right away, and as long as it takes to do what Anders is about to show you.
Yes. So now we are in the new Azure portal, and we have browsed into our automation account. So this is Azure Automation, and one of my automation accounts. You can have multiple automation accounts, maybe based on some security requirements. Maybe you want to have it for that.
Yeah. Well, so the automation account tends to be our security boundary in Azure Automation, which in the orchestrator world today would typically mean you're using separate environments. Like as we do for dev and test and prod, we're going to use automation accounts as sort of that security boundary to determine who has access to different assets, to credentials, and to connections into systems.
So what we can do in here, we can build our runbooks, we can set up assets, we can look at our jobs, we can connect and start working with desired state configuration. That is another fantastic feature. We can also look at our hybrid workers. So start with runbooks. So in Azure Automation, we can build runbooks in two different authoring modes, the text-based authoring mode and the graphical authoring mode. And we will start with the graphical one, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we'll look at the graphical. And while Anders is pulling up the graphical, I'll preface that by saying I think Anders and I tend to do most of our authoring in Visual Studio with the PowerShell tools or just in the PowerShell integrated scripting interface, the ISE.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit easier there, and then you just paste it over here.
Yeah, so here we have, and really what you're showing us here, Anders, this looks like visualization of PowerShell commandlets, yeah?
Yes, so this is the graphical authoring interface. You have all your different PowerShell modules, and you can just right-click one of these and add them. You see they show up here, and then you connect them to the rest of your activities. You click on them, and then here on the right side, you configure all the parameters. And there is one really nice thing here. Pete, we have to show this.
Okay.
You see how this line is moving? Like.
You beat him to the fantastic. Good for you.
You see, Pete, now this one is like a little bit behind the other one.
So really, he's highlighting a commandlet, and then the parameters of the commandlet are exposed on the right-hand side. So for me, I tend to like to work in the ISE because it's the same sort of thing. So when I'm not
in the mood, it's a little bit quicker when you're going to test a lot. It's a little bit quicker to run it locally than running it in Azure. So when you're devving and building, it's easier to work.
That's a really important bit when you're testing again and again and again. If you're testing locally, you're not waiting for a slot for your job to start and then report the results. You're going to get it right there. On-prem, so within your authoring interface, your development workstation, so it's going to be a little faster in that respect.
Yeah, so let's look at the text-based authoring mode also. So this is text-based, you can see. We are literally writing all the code here, PowerShell workflow code. We get a little bit of intelligence sensors, so when I start typing, it will suggest, let's say I want to use this new ID user, and it will suggest the different parameters and everything I need to configure. So it's quite nice, but still, I often use the other tool to
yeah. So it's a lot like it's a lot like the ISE in that it has IntelliSense, etc., autocomplete. We've been talking to you about the search capability. We're talking about authoring here. So there are some resources behind this. I mentioned a nice 7-part series on search, some authoring resources. Normally, I'd ask you not to take notes. I'm going to ask you to take one note. Operations Management Suite Survival Guide. Go to Bing, search for that. It's going to take you to the TechNet Gallery, where I've established an Operations Management Suite Survival Guide, and all of these nice things that I'm talking about will appear in one central place on a property managed by Microsoft, so it will be curated for the ages. So you can always go and see the latest resources that we've discovered in the community as a community. So that's out on the TechNet Wiki. Where anybody who wants to update that can update it. In fact, I started it, and the product team themselves went out and began adding their little bits, so it's getting quite nice quickly. Sorry, back to you.
So, this runbook here, it creates accounts in AD, so if I want to run it, of course I want to run it on my hybrid worker on premises. So if I click start here, I can fill in the input parameters, first name, last name, but then here you can see, do I want to run it in Azure or do I want to run it on my hybrid workers? And if I click hybrid workers, it will display my different hybrid workers, but it's not really displaying the hybrid workers, it's displaying groups of hybrid workers. So when you set up your hybrid worker, you have to name or you have to say which group will this hybrid worker belong to. You can have a group of one worker, or you can have multiple workers in a group for high availability. So when I say hybrid worker here, it lets me pick which hybrid worker group I want to run this on. And you don't really know which server inside of the group that will execute the runbook. That's Azure Automation will figure that one out. So if you need to target to a specific server, just have one server in your hybrid worker group.
So in other words, a hybrid Runbook worker group of one, group of one. So I want to say something
like
while we're
group.
Looking at this screen right here. So you see Anders is running this, he's launching this Runbook in the UI, and you notice here he can pick hybrid worker. Now one thing that's important to understand about hybrid worker is that that hybrid worker is not going to have passed to it all of the PowerShell modules for whatever components you might want to call. So if you would like to call, for example, SQL Server PowerShell commandlets, you'll need to make sure they're loaded on that hybrid worker. So the one time you might pop into this GUI testing interface is when I want to test my various hybrid workers to make sure they are all equally capable of running my solution, right? So, and you see that that as a testing interface to target my hybrid workers is quite simple to navigate. What are you showing us here, Anders?
Yes, so if you're not that familiar with PowerShell workflow or PowerShell in general, and you still want to get started with Azure Automation, there is a connection to a TechNet Runbook Gallery, so you can, from the Azure portal, you can import runbooks, so you don't have to write any code. And most likely, you will find a runbook in here that is close to what you want to achieve, or maybe exactly what you would like to achieve. So in here, it's in different categories, so say backup. You can pick a runbook. This seems to be what I'm looking for. Next, you can review the code, making sure that everything looks good. Yep. Name it, select which automation account you would like to have it in, and then click. And then, if we go into automation account, we will see that we soon have the new runbook in here. Yeah, here we have it. So, once we have it in here, you can then go and do authoring in this portal too. And you can change the code any way you want. But it's a really easy and good way to get started. So don't be afraid for the whole PowerShell workflow thing, because you will most likely find a good example or actually exactly what you're looking for. And you can just import it, and you're up and running.
Yeah, so what we'll be adding to the survival guide later today is a 12-part series on PowerShell workflow. From the MVP community that will help you to navigate some of that new language. But to Anders' point, using the TechNet gallery as the place where you begin is great, because you'll have more than 150 working examples out there straight from the TechNet gallery. So let's switch gears and talk about availability for a moment. So as we leverage Azure more with virtual machine workloads, for example, we have the need to back up that data. As we think about disaster recovery, there's certainly some need to establish like infrastructure not in our local data center. So with the availability theme, we'll see Azure Backup, allowing me to back up data out of my virtual machines and to store that data for the long term. I think 99 years retention is absolutely possible. Who's heard of Azure Site Recovery? So a few of you. So Azure Site Recovery will allow me to replicate virtual machines into Azure, and not just Hyper-V virtual machines, but VMware guests as well, and to orchestrate how those machines will be brought online, will fail over in the cloud. And so that is to say, if we need to bring up a database server before the web farm, but after Active Directory, et cetera, I can orchestrate all that with relative ease. Incidentally, with much, much less effort and complexity than I would see in VMware's own high availability DR solution. So you get your backup and recovery dashboard, but I wanted to see if Anders could just give us a quick demo of Azure Backup. And while you're doing this, Anders, let's talk about what Azure Backup will do today. Can I can back up
files and folders.
Files and folders, and what about application workloads?
Yeah, well, if you're going to do that today, you have to first back them up to your local disk and then back them up with the Azure Backup agent.
Yeah.
What we see here is a backup vault set up in the Azure portal, and that's the first step you need to do. So you go in here, you just create your new backup vault. You say that if you want to have it for site recovery, like replicating VMs, or if you want to have it for files and folders and backup of VMs. So different kind of vaults there. Then on the right side, let me zoom, you can download the backup agent, and you also download the vault credentials. These credentials will only work for a couple of hours, so download them when you're actually going to install the agent. Because when you have installed the agent, you need to input this vault credentials to connect your agent to this backup vault in Azure.
And the backup agent is different than the Microsoft management agent, yes?
Yes, exactly. And in here, in the portal, we can then look at our different items that we are backing up, making sure that everything is working. We get a good overview in here. And of course, we also connect this one into OMS. So we will get our backup status in OMS. And once in OMS, we can click it and we will get in here and see all the small details. On the Windows side, it looks like this. We have the Microsoft Azure Backup Agent. And I can see that it's telling me there is even a new version here, moving quickly in the cloud. In here, we can do schedule a backup. And it's just a normal wizard that will help you to to set up what you like to back up, for example, a folder in here. And you configure when you want to back up at, based on days or week. You can also configure how many days or years or week you want to store your data in Azure. Once you have done all this, it will do a first full backup, and then it will just backup changes after that. And if we would like to do a recovery, we do recover data. I can recover to this server. Yep, browse for files, and it's connecting me to the vault, so I can see what do I have in the vault for this server. And I go through this wizard, and it will giving me more and more options here once it has downloaded all the information. So I can see that I have backup for a number of days here. Let me make sure I can zoom it. Like that. So I pick, for example, this day. That.
And so do I have a max number of recovery points a day? Are you controlling how many recovery points a day, or is Azure Backup doing that for you?
I set it up when I schedule the backup, how I would like that to do. And I can, of course, set up here, like, do you want to recover it to the original folder, or do you want it to recover to another folder? Do you want to recover all the files and files permissions and so on? And when I'm happy with everything, I just do recover. It will download the data from the cloud and put it on my server again. And if you think about a scenario where you are running servers in Azure, it's quite handy to also have the backup in Azure, not only from the price perspective, but also that when you're doing a backup or recovery, you don't have to transfer it through the VPN, for example.
Yeah, but I think this possesses me as being a great remote office, branch office solution as well, where I have maybe smaller numbers of servers, I have a lot of ordinary file data, and I want to pick that data up and make sure it's secure and off-site without having to establish backup infrastructure at countless physical locations.
Yep.
So
over to you.
Thanks for that. So configuration assessment. The configuration assessment capability is something that goes all the way back to the advisor days. So we can analyze the current configuration state of a server for security, for performance, for patching, and for specific application workloads. So there's an Active Directory assessment solution that will give us current state of Active Directory versus best practices. So Anders, can I ignore some best practices if I choose?
Yes, you can ignore them. I can show that in a
okay,
demo.
Yep.
I will find that.
So we'll have a look at that in just a moment. And there's a SQL assessment, so we can safely assume there are going to be new workloads coming in here. Anders will show you how you can safely ignore some of those practices that may not be applicable to your specific environment. Why don't you show us quick?
Absolutely. So back in the OMS portal, and in this scenario or this demo, I have enabled the AD assessment solution. And if I click on it, it will tell me all about my AD and my AD health and configuration. You can see we have different categories. So let's say that here seems to be some red ones, those are not very good. If I click on these, I can read about them, like why is this a problem, what can be like the result of if I haven't configured it correctly. There is also links to the recommended solution, what should I do. And the really nice part here is this is also available in the 7-day free. So you can store 7 days of data for free in here. So you can actually be running this for SQL, AD, Windows Server, and so on. You can get started today with no subscription or anything. Just sign up and start using it.
Now, for this particular theme, is there any system center dependence? So is this taking Active Directory and SQL monitoring data from System Center Operations Manager?
Or if it's connected to SCUM?
Do I have to have SCUM in order to run this?
You just install the OMS agent on your SQL servers, on your domain controllers, connect them to OMS, and enable the solution in OMS. That's it.
Yeah, it's there we go. Good. So I just wanted to point out, for those of you that maybe are running Configuration Manager but maybe not using System Center Operations Manager yet, you have capability here that's also directly available by just onboarding that agent direct into OMS as opposed to flowing through Operations
Manager. Yeah, and
as soon as
Microsoft Support finds out some kind of new best practice that we should apply, it's in there and it starts looking at your data and your configuration instantly.
Yeah. So who in here has deployed System Center Operations Manager and tried to audit security data, the audit collection solution? So I'm going to see a small number of hands here because I think we all find challenges with security auditing in terms of scale and our capability to have a unified reporting experience that's highly performant at high scale, which tends to be the case with security events, right? A domain controller generates 40 events a second on average. So with OMS, we can take that security log data with the security and audit solution, collect all of that data, and then begin to filter down into specific types of security events, not just across single servers, but across groups of servers. I know for me that was always a big problem with Operations Manager, to try to draw a box around the scope of my event. I could easily drill down to one server, or I could look at all servers, but to get down and to begin to filter into subsets of servers and specific events is exceedingly challenging. So we'll see that security and audit has some nice visualization out of the box, and then Anders can drill down for us into some of this other data. Anecdotally speaking, there are a couple of solutions here. One for system update that will show you what patches are missing on systems, which can be certainly interesting for application-specific server workloads, as well as malware assessment that will help you understand what your antivirus signatures look like today on your managed systems. But I want to have Anders drill down on that security log analysis solution so we can just have a quick look at what's possible.
Yes, so now we're in the OMS portal again, and I clicked security. And as you can see here, we got a good overview of everything around security in our environment, both patches, malware, and also strange events. And I can easily see, for example, failed logons. I click that one, and I get a good list of all failed logons based on the accounts. So I can see, and then if I want to drill down, see what's going on, I can click on one of these, and I can drill down to all the logs, and I can find out more details. So as you can see here, the security solution comes with a lot of pre-configured queries that is helping you to get a good overview of the most important parts. But as you have all the security data in OMS, it's easy to just modify the queries that you saw earlier, that we did earlier in our demo, to build whatever query you need for your environment.
So what we're looking at here is absolute default. You didn't build this dashboard.
This is absolutely default.
Okay.
Out of the box, I haven't done anything with it more than uploaded the data.
So if you've struggled with audit collection services specifically and been kind of looking for that security audit solution, we can connect System Center Operations Manager into OMS, light up the security and audit solution, and now we've got answers without all of the servers and running the calculator to look at database sizes, etc.
Yeah. And if you compare this solution with many companies have the requirement to do security auditing, and when you ask them if they can generate a report, it's like no. Because it's so slow, and they have really no clue what they are logging in there. So in here, you saw in the earlier demo, we went from 200,000 events to 4 events in just a couple of minutes, even if their wireless was a little bit slow there. So just uploading all the data in here, and you can actually search, and you get a good overview of the security situation.
Our audience has a challenge for you. Why don't you take a bunch of events and go down to a small number of events in a couple of minutes, and then we'll go have lunch.
And then we'll go get have lunch, yeah.
Let's say that we would like to have activities in the system.
So now we're drilling down to security event measure count by activity. So it looks like we're in a few hundred thousand events here at this point.
Yeah, so let's say that we would like to see who turned off that service earlier from the first demo.
Oh, so we found the service that was stopped, and now you're going to go see who done it.
Yeah, exactly. So we have 50,000 successfully logons.
So what we call this is the blame engine, right? Now we found the problem, now we're going to go figure out who we point the finger at. I love this part.
And we know the server name, so I click the server name here, and we go from 50,000 to 28,000 events.
Okay, so we're whittling our way down. I love this because I know I didn't do it, actually, so.
That's good, Pete. And then we can, of course, change. We know that it happens quite recently, so we can go to one day. So we have 28,000 events. And now we changed it from 7 days to 1 day, so we should have a little bit less events now. This is a good opportunity for you to say something.
So the point being here, on onboarding of this is going to be minutes. So we're thinking about that audit collection services solution that was going to be challenging at any length of time and effort. I actually spent a few weeks of my life trying to write reports for that, and I'm going to go from onboarding to better audit collection than I could ever do with just operations manager by myself to something that's instantly giving me those reports everybody's asking for in just a few minutes' time.
So we're down to 4,000 now, and I changed it from 1 day to just a couple of hours, and it's filtering again. And we can also see here on the left side, you see now we're 1,600. So we can see here on the left side, it's suggesting different kind of filters to filter down. It has already grouped here all the accounts, so I can start filtering based on the account if I would like to, or the logon type, or as we said earlier, we can add on one of the other filters from the logs that we have collected.
So I always find that interesting. It took me a bit to figure out what OMS was doing there. It's trying to suggest what it thinks I'm looking for, and if it doesn't guess right, then it's going to give me that capability to drill down.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're down to 4,000-ish events.
Yeah.
What's going to get us the last leg?
Well, let's see. We could do
this one. So we're going to do win logon.
And I already see that it's something strange here because this account here is not the engineer's account, so that account should not never log on to the server from the beginning. So with that information, it's quite easy to find that, I guess this is the root cause who logged on to the server. But we went from this enormous amount of events, and we could just add on and add on and add on filters, and we can easily find it.
And there we go. So we're down to how many events?
Two events.
So we went from 250,000 to two.
Yeah. And we can see on the based on the time, it was just it was almost exactly the same time. So I think this is the root cause who logged on. It the time is correctly with the time when the service was stopped this morning. So I think we found who did it.
So we've gone from onboarding to a great security and audit solution in a matter of minutes. And then Anders filtered us down to the actual answer for who
stopped the
who was responsible for that security event in a couple of minutes' time.
That's important.
So, bottom line, think of OMS as systems management for PaaS. So it's really tooled very well today to allow you to extend your existing System Center investment into a massive fabric for a massive platform for very effective data analysis. You can run OMS with System Center, which is how we do it. If you have some systems that are not in System Center, you can also onboard those directly with the management agent to light that up. But start using the free plan with the tools. When you hit your 500 meg limit, it's just going to stop collecting data, so there's no danger of charge or anything of that nature.
Exactly. So start using the free one. You can run the AD assessment, all the security stuff. SQL assessment, all the log analyze things. So it's so good. So what did you say? You're losing money if you don't start using it.
Yeah, I guess we can draw that. I may say yes to that after a couple of drinks. We'll see. So I think that's what we had for you today. We have Colin Smith from Microsoft over here for anybody with some of those detailed pricing questions, or if you'd like to talk a little more candidly, we'd love for you to come over here and join us with Colin. Thanks for your time. Your feedback, of course, is very important. So go out and fill out the form. Mostly generous. And thanks for all the time and attention. We hope you have a great rest of the conference, and we'll see you tonight at the closing party, yeah?